Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a brazen act of complicity between the House Majority Leader and Wall Street interests, witnessed today on Capitol Hill as Eric Cantor gutted the Stock Act, meant to stop insider trading by the Congress, and forced through the passage of a watered-down weak bill. Dr. Craig Holman, the legislative representative for Public Citizen on Capitol Hill, joins us to discuss Cantor's craven move and the outrage it has generated from lawmakers, including the Republican sponsor of the Senate's Stock Act bill, Chuck Grassley. Then we will speak with Paul Pearson, who is professor of political science at the University of California, Berkeley, and co-author of Winner Take All Politics, How Washington Made the Rich Richer and Turned Its Back on the Middle Class. We'll examine the capture of our government by the super rich and look into ways to restore a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Then finally, we'll speak with the communications director for the Syrian American Council, Rashad al-Dabbagh, who will discuss the ongoing tragedy in his native country as the Assad regime appears to be taking advantage of the Russian UN veto to ramp up its murderous military bombardment of the Syrian people who oppose the family dictatorship. And joining us now is Dr. Craig Holman, the legislative representative for Public Citizen. He serves as the organization's Capitol Hill lobbyist on ethics, lobbying, and campaign finance rules. He's an expert on campaign finance reform, government ethics, lobbying practices, and the impact of money in politics. Previously, Dr. Holman was a senior policy analyst at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Holman.
Glad to be here, Ian.
And the House has just passed the Stock Act, 417-2, but my understanding is that House Majority Leader Eric Cantor has stripped out some of the provisions, particularly those that require that this new industry that's cropped up on Capitol Hill called the political intelligence industry, which is a $100 million a year business with 30 to 50 firms operating in Washington alone, that those people who collect financial information and sell it to Wall Street don't have to register the same way that lobbyists do. So that seems like a massive gift to Wall Street.
It is a massive gift to Wall Street, and Wall Street and the banks and the financial services industry are Eric Cantor's biggest base of contributors. So he's given a gift back to his primary campaign contributors. The Stock Act, by the way, stands for Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. You know, as all the listeners here probably realize, it's the insider trading laws that would send you and I to prison don't apply to members of Congress. And so finally, we've got some legislation that's been going through both the House and the Senate, not only applying the insider trading laws to members and staff, but also requiring, as you mentioned, disclosure by a whole host of lobbyists and businesses that hang around the halls of Congress to try to glean inside information from staffers and members and then sell it for trading on the stock market. They're called the political intelligence consultants. However, they tend to be mostly lobbyists and hedge fund firms and various financial traders that do that type of operation. Eric Cantor has given them a huge gift. We've got a real strong Stock Act that came through the Senate that included coverage of political intelligence consultants. The original bill in the House, H.R. 1148, by Representatives Tim Walz and Louise Slaughter, also covered political intelligence consultants, and that was what we had expected to go into today. But Eric Cantor pulled a fast one. He introduced a substitute measure and then imposed a rule that prohibited the discussion or consideration of any other bill or amendment. So the House was forced by Eric Cantor into either taking his weak package or get nothing at all. We all chose to go with the weak package at this point with the hope of pushing this into conference committee and, giving a chance for the advocates of a stronger measure, especially from the Senate and Louise Slaughter, to transform it back into the meaningful original measure that it was.
And New York Democratic Representative Louise Slaughter who, as you mentioned, Craig Holman, tried to get a bill similar to the Senate one through. She said, the Stock Act has been weakened totally as far as I'm concerned. So you have to take her word. She knows what she's talking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, not only did Eric Cantor cut out a huge gaping loophole for the political intelligence consultants, literally for Wall Street, but he also cut out a very important enforcement provision that would have made it much easier for the Department of Justice to enforce the nation's anti-corruption laws. So he took two of the biggest components that were in the Stock Act and cut them right out of the bill, and then forced the House to sign on to his version, which, you know, is a little, but it certainly isn't what everyone has called for. You know, the original Stock Act that Louise Slaughter and Tim Walz had sponsored got up to 282 co-sponsors. I mean, literally about two-thirds of the House was behind this bill. And Eric Cantor just snubbed his own colleagues and went forward with the substitute amendment.
So explain that to our listeners then, Craig Holman. How could somebody get away with such a brazen act of undemocratic behavior, basically being totally craven towards a particular special interest? And at this point, you know, Wall Street special interest is not the most popular in the land. How does he get away with it? What's the story with his constituents? I mean, I'm absolutely nonplussed.
You know, a lot of us are very angry at Eric Cantor for doing this. I mean, even his Republican colleagues in both the House and the Senate were condemning this action. This was essentially a parlor trick. You can take the rules of procedure of the House, and if you're the majority leader, you can manipulate those rules to do almost anything you want. Now, it's literally considered a bad form to ignore the wishes of two-thirds of your colleagues. But the House Majority Leader actually has that authority. By bringing his substitute measure up under the suspension calendar, the way the rules of procedure are designed, that means nothing else can be considered except the substitute measure being offered by the majority leader. And that's what he's done. He's snubbed his own colleagues. He's infuriated both the House and the Senate. And to tell the truth, I'm not at all convinced he's really going to win this battle. You know, he's trying to avoid going to conference committee, and actually, as a House Majority Leader, he can avoid calling a conference committee and essentially kill the bill right then and there. But at this point, the public pressure is so in tune as to what Eric Cantor just pulled off, and also so demanding of having this Stock Act pass, that I think Eric Cantor's put himself in a very precarious situation here, where he's not only defying the wishes of his colleagues, but he's defying the wishes of the American public. I'm not so sure he's going to win on this one.
So just to go over the history of the Stock Act a little, of course, the president in his State of the Union just recently called on the Congress to send him a bill that bans insider trading by members of Congress, and I'll sign it tomorrow. Well, we're not sure whether he's going to sign it. We're not sure whether it's going to go into conference. But you have to go back a little bit before. You mentioned all of the co-sponsors in the House, what, 250. But prior to 60 Minutes running a piece on the Stock Act and how it had languished for years and had only been able to get a couple of Congress people aboard, one of whom was Louise Slaughter, who's obviously been with us from the beginning. The other co-sponsor, I think he quit the House in disgust, didn't he?
Brian Baird, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he left. Tim Walz has taken over as lead on the Stock Act, along with Louise Slaughter. But yeah, the history is quite amazing. I mean, just to show how little Congress really wants to pass this law, the bill was introduced originally back in 2006. And it's never gotten more than a dozen co-sponsors on the bill. And as a matter of fact, this year we were only up to about six or seven co-sponsors. And then suddenly 60 Minutes did this good, excellent expose on insider trading by members of Congress and how many of them are getting filthy rich trading in the stock markets. And immediately after that, we went from about six co-sponsors to 282 today. So, I mean, it shows that Congress, if it really doesn't want this law, but they are being embarrassed into applying the law against insider trading to themselves. We'll see what the final result is going to be yet.
But Craig Holman, in that 60 Minutes piece, one of the most egregious revelations was that one of the congressmen, a Republican congressman from, I think, from Mississippi or Louisiana, was in on these critical negotiations just as Lehman Brothers was tanking and the Secretary of the Treasury was meeting with everybody behind closed doors, along with the chairman of the Fed and everybody. And they were in crisis and panic mode. And he was able to take information about who the Fed was going to bail out and who they weren't, and go out and make trades on this critical insider information. What's happened to him? I take it there'd be no censure on him. He's obviously working hand in glove with Cantor, right?
That's right, and probably voted for the Stock Act in the end. There's been quite a number of...
What's his name, by the way? His name slips me at the moment.
I believe you're talking about Representative Spencer Baucus.
Spencer Baucus, right.
Who is the chair of the Financial Services Committee. Right. So he's not only an insider, he's chair of the insiders. Mm-hmm. He's got his finger right on the pulse of what's going on in the financial services sector in Wall Street, and he has been essentially a day trader. I mean, if you take a look at his personal financial disclosure forms, this guy was all over the stock market trading in Citibank and Fidelity and all kinds of financial services stock. He's not the only one. I mean, literally, there are lots of Representative Boehner, for instance, had a lot of investments in the mortgage funds. And by coincidence, he cashed out on all his mortgage funds right before the mortgage industry collapsed. You know, he's just raised questions after questions. I mean, either these guys are geniuses at trading in the stock market, or they know something we don't know.
I'd go with the latter.
Yes, so would I. If you take a look at the overall financial wealth of Congress in just the last 2 years has increased by about 25%. You know, you got to ask yourself, how much has your wealth increased in the last 2 years?
Well, tell us a bit, Craig Holman, about the Senate bill. And you were telling us that Eric Cantor forced this vote on his version, which is the watered-down, diluted, Wall Street-friendly version of the Stock Act with these massive loopholes. And he has the ability not to go to conference. But clearly there's already Senator Chuck Grassley, who was the author of the Senate bill, apparently. He's furious with Cantor. You think it's possible to shame this guy?
Yes, I do. The game is afoot as we speak. Eric Cantor forced his weak bill through this morning, and in an effort to try to avoid going to conference where he thinks the Senate and people like Louise Slaughter will once again produce a good, strong bill in conference. In order to avoid that, just about an hour ago, he made an overture to the Senate saying, okay, we just take my bill, and if you just ratify my bill, it goes straight to the president by this afternoon. You know, trying to make it sound like we can do this reform real fast. And fortunately, Grassley and Cornyn and some others have spoken up, you know, furious about the dilution of the bill itself that Cantor did. And hopefully they will stand by their stronger version and demand that the Senate and the House go into conference and iron out the details. Now, we don't know what will eventually come out of conference, but you know, I suspect it might be pretty good. I know Nancy Pelosi's already committed to appointing Louise Slaughter to represent the Democrats on the House side in the conference committee. And if we can get some good senators, and there's a lot of them to choose from, like Grassley, you know, and Scott Brown and Kirsten Gillibrand, a bunch of good ones, and get them in the conference committee, then I suspect we're going to get a final good product. And I hope the Senate stands firm and does not endorse or take on Cantor's bill and stand firm and come out with their own strong one.
And Cantor, of course, called one of the provisions in his bill the Pelosi provisions, which was a dig at Nancy Pelosi, which I imagine didn't go down too well with her and her colleagues.
It also shows how Eric Cantor has taken this important piece of legislation and just turned it into partisan football. You know, to him, all it is some way in which he can try claiming credit for reforms by making it his bill, and then at the same time attacking his Democratic opponents like Nancy Pelosi with it. You know, he's just playing political football here, and this is not the issue to try to turn into partisan politics. It isn't going to work. I mean, you've got Senator Grassley out there publicly denouncing Eric Cantor on this, and, you know, Grassley is a fellow Republican.
Well, just in closing, apparently there's some concern about a Grassley provision in the Senate bill that might have an unintended consequence of muzzling whistleblowers. Tell me about that. Is that...
It's not a valid argument. What the point is, part of the lobbying campaign to try to kill the political intelligence consultants provision, which is being launched by Wall Street and the Chamber of Commerce. And one of the most effective ways of trying to kill a popular piece of legislation is to try to create confusion over how broadly it reaches. It's pretty clear that the political intelligence provision applies just to those who derive information, and this is a quote right out of the Grassley Amendment, which is intended for use in analyzing securities or commodities markets or informing investment decisions. So it very narrowly applies to those who are trying to glean information to use and at the time they glean it, to use it for trading in the stock market. So it does not apply to others, such as the media or whistleblowers or any of the others.
Well, it just shows you how you've got to be diligent, right, as a reporter, and you're there as a representative of public citizen on the Hill, because I'm reading this from the Huffington Post, and it sounds like it's real, but it's obviously a game. It's obviously a way to dirty up the real meat of the bill.
It is part of the lobbying campaign. You'll also see in the Grassley Amendment a specific provision that exempts the media from any coverage under this insider trading law. It's part of the game we play here on Capitol Hill.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Craig. Very appreciative of your close knowledge on this whole issue.
It is a pleasure, and we shall very shortly see whether we get a good stock act through this Congress.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Craig Holman, the legislative representative for Public Citizen. He serves as the organization's Capitol Hill lobbyist on ethics, lobbying, and campaign finance rules. He's an expert on campaign finance reform, governmental ethics, lobbying practices, and the impact of money in politics. Previously, he was a senior policy analyst at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment.
All that diamond dust. Blowing up your hopes, flamboyant obstacles, oh, deals made to cope, ideas in decline, rise of the lost, yeah, 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 hey, here we stand, slave to networks, master plans, swags the brand, open a can, chains off still, y'all never ran, but who do you think?